You're listening to Lawyers Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Lawyers Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Now, being the second Wednesday of the month, between 1 and 2, we have our team in from Hutchinson Legal. We've got the big man down there, Grant, and also Jackson, who I believe it's his first day with Hutchinson Legal, is it?
That's right, yep.
Way to go.
Well, he's actually with your lawyer, but that's all right.
Well, it's still sister, part of Hutchinson.
Sister law firm, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Righto. Now, we had you in last month, and we'll say no more about that.
That was a great... I really enjoyed it. I don't know what you're talking about, Alan. It was a great... Always enjoy my time with you.
Well, we didn't quite answer the question that the people wanted, but anyway...
Let me try a bit. I'll try harder today.
Try harder today. Right. So, we had a question from a person who... it involves a bit of land that... A fence has been put on, which actually belonged to somebody else, and the person wanted to know how long does it have to be for adverse possession, and if one of those houses have been sold over the time, does that negate it and it goes back to start, or what actually happens with adverse possession, and how do they claim it?
That's a great question, and if I can, am I coming through? It doesn't feel
like... Yeah, I can hear you.
Good on you, as long as you can hear.
Yeah.
Let's hope there's one or two listeners out there. It's in Victoria, adverse possession. So when you possess something or you take control of something and you possess it, you're in possession, adverse to the interests of the actual owner.
Yep.
Now, it used to be you could adversely possess council land and council didn't have time to check it. Remember there used to be a run around... the perimeter of council land, they used to be...
Yeah,
just
they used to go...
Remember?
Something, the boundaries.
Yeah, boundary.
By writing the boundaries.
Writing the boundary.
Yep.
And you check that nobody's misbehaving and taking something. These days, councils are too busy, I think, to do that. I'd love to see a councillor do a run like that.
Yep.
But let's leave that to another day. So what you do is, it could be... These days, you can't adversely possess council land.
Or state government, I'll bet.
Yeah, well, I'm just talking about council for a minute. But it's effectively... It's one of those things that... Because there could be a disused road and suddenly somebody puts a fence and takes it in. If you can gain legal ownership if you effectively take over and you know, it's open, it's against the interests of the person, so it has to be continuous, exclusive and open, and 15 years is the period.
15 years?
At least 15 years. It can be longer.
Yep.
But that's the general period that's required. I think with corporation... Anyway, let's deal with it, a person.
Yep.
Does it have to be the same owner? No.
As long as it's roped as long off as it's, or something.
Well, let's say you've moved your fence.
Yep.
The classic is... You have your fence built and it gets knocked down and you move it a couple of inches the wrong way.
Yep.
Within the 15 years, you can force it to go back because it's your land. It's in the wrong spot. After 15 years, goodbye. Bye-bye, birdie.
So
land is gone.
Yep.
If they make it... Now, they have to make a claim to the Registrar of Titles and they have to make a claim under the transfer of... There's a couple of Acts of Parliament that deal with it. But, look, it's one of those things that... It's sad if it happens. So there's the Limitations of Actions Act, the 1958 Act, and the Transfer of Land Act, another 1958 Act. But it extinguishes the existing owner's rights after the relevant period. Let's just say it's 15 years.
Yep.
So I think the classic was where, and I think it's a well-known case, where somebody just one day was... going past, there was a big farmland and they just decided to set up their caravan or they decided to set up home. They made it... People ignored it. They started to fence off, plant vegetables, and so they could show that they were using the land.
Yep.
And after 15 years, it's theirs.
True.
So, yeah, well, don't... So if you've got lots of land, you've got to protect it.
Yeah,
a man's home...
If you see anyone on there, chuck them off.
Well... That's effectively what you've got to do. And so being charitable and nice can have its downside to it. So if you do it with permission, so if you can prove that... If you can say to somebody, you've got to pay me 5 cents a year and you go and collect your 5 cents a year and you can prove it, that's not adversely possessed. That's possessed with permission.
And that's why, if you're particularly a council or a government, they charge what they call peppercorn rent, isn't it?
So peppercorn, yes, exactly.
So that you're actually paying for it. So then they're not actually taking it over. That's why that's brought in, wasn't it?
Because that's not adverse possession. That's possession with permission, and you recognise that there is an owner.
Yep.
So, but where you're adversely possessing is you're basically taking it as if it's yours.
Yep.
And living as if it's yours.
Yep.
You're not paying rent. You may start to pay rates to council. Council yep. often like to see that you've paid rates on the land,
yep.
particularly if it's a bit bigger, if you're expanding your current boundaries. So adverse possession, an interesting concept, and one that's born of, if you think of it this way, if you're not using it and don't insist on your rights for 15 years, maybe somebody else has a better claim. And so there's public policy behind this.
Yep.
But it's not nice when you lose some land.
Yep. Yep.
But it's a bit, people can be a bit sneaky about it, which is, I don't think that's desirable. But yep. But anyway, it's interesting. So great question. Are you satisfied with that answer?
I certainly am. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more, and I want to talk to Jackson because he can't just sit there and look at us.
I paid my dues time after time. Done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. And everything that goes with it, I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before.
Listening to Lawyers Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back, and we're talking to, we've had Grant from Hutchison Legal. I've just got a problem here with my Earphones. Anyway, we're right now. Now, he brought in with him Jackson. Now, I believe Jackson might be his first day with Grant or with the organisation Your Lawyer, which is part of Hutchison Legal. So, first of all, welcome, Jackson.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Not a problem. You've been able to sit there and listen to Grant and I banter a bit. So, just tell me a little bit about yourself. What made you want to get into law?
Kind of just enjoying it in school, really, in high school, doing legal studies, and it was my favourite subject and best performing subject. So I decided to do it at uni as well as a media degree.
Yep.
So doing both those at the same time.
So do you want to get into the media legal, or what do you want to specialise in any particular type of law?
Yeah, I'm not as sure as of yet. Initially, yeah, so that was the intention, media law as a growing industry. That was something I was very interested in my first few years of uni.
Yep.
But it's taken about 5 years to get through both degrees, so it's I've had changing opinions about it. Now I'm just really excited to learn under Grant as well as a supervisor. Yeah, it's been a fun first day as well.
So, well, it's a bit hard to ask you yet what you would really like to do, but would you long-term see yourself, like Grant, as an all-rounder in a local practice, or would you rather sort of specialise in some particular part of law?
I'd say maybe as specialising in an area of law, whether it be criminal law or even acting in the public interest, which would be more of an all-rounder role as well. But, I haven't decided as much. I'm really excited for this opportunity. It's 15 days of placement, kind of working for Your Lawyer in the victims of crime compensation area. So that's what I'm excited about.
How long is this placement for, did you say?
15 days of work. So that'll take me to the start of December. So, be good.
Then, how long have you got before you can be fully sworn in?
Yeah, I just started my practical legal training, and at the end of that, that's a 6-month program.
Yeah.
To get my graduate diploma.
Yep.
And that finishes in February.
Yep.
And then it'll be a month or so process to get myself admitted by the court.
Yeah.
So hopefully. Fingers crossed, March, I'd be admitted and start working as a graduate lawyer, which is something I'm really excited about and I'm really proud to achieve.
Grant, what's a graduate lawyer? Do they still work under the supervision of someone like yourself, or why the term graduate lawyer?
Yeah, look, good question, Alan. A graduate lawyer has not yet been admitted to practice by the Supreme Court of Victoria or the High Court of Australia, so it's like the apprenticeship, or used to be called articles, and it would last for 12 months.
Oh, I remember that, yep.
And now they've institutionalised it, and you go to College of Law or Leo Custon or one of these other places. That because articles was great if you're in a practice that looked after you and circulated you through the different areas of law, but it could be a bit hit and miss, and sometimes you were just treated like an errand person who had cheap labour.
Which is not what...
No.
It was said for, yep.
It was meant to set up as a practical training, and that's what they've now called it, practical training, but it's only 35 days. 35 days, is that 7 weeks?
It's 15 days of the practical, okay. So 15 days at Your Lawyer.
Yeah, okay, so we've been on touch. Look, it's a great, he's doing that, and I'm sure he'll do a great job in terms of learning and absorbing as much information as he can. So, but I was interested in his talk about media law because I've never even thought about media law. Maybe it's I'm sure you'd cover defamation.
Defamation, and yeah.
But what about the laws?
There's more than that
setting up licenses.
Media law, though, isn't there?
Yeah, copyright and.
But also the licenses necessary establish the station or renew.
Yeah. There's more social media regulations as well, which is coming into play.
And admin law?
Admin law, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
And copyright law is a bit of a... copyright law, as we were trained, it's different for... the newspapers compared to books, you're allowed to quote more out of the paper than what you are out of a book.
Right.
We have to learn all that. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and Grant's going to talk to us about something.
you were young and your heart was an open book. You used to say, live and let live. Thought if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry. Say, live.
Listening to Lawyers, Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
And I'm talking to Grant and Jackson from Hutchison Legal, although Jackson is with your lawyer, but same sort of group. Right, you want to talk? You've been down the street. You got here nice and early.
Went down to the bakery, had a nice, I think Jackson had a shepherd's pie and I had just a plain meat pie. It was fantastic.
And
that bakery. And I know they never give me anything for free, but after my little plug, they should. Anyway, a few doors up is Bendigo Bank, and a few doors, a couple of doors from that is what
well,
I want to talk to you.
Pay off all your debts, you.
There's the Yarra Valley art. Anyway, they're presenting in open studios, and I met David Bennett down there,
yep.
Top bloke,
yep.
And he'll even let you see without charging you money. Just tell him Grant sent you.
And he said if you look after me, I'll look after you, Grant. You go up and give me a plug.
he's got his own piece up there, Morning Lights. It looks fantastic.
Yep.
But there's also some other pieces around, so we don't want to just plug. But I think always supporting local business and local art shows. It's so important.
When's it on, Grant? It's on now?
It's on now. He's open, and there's only certain hours. I think it's until the 12th of October in the Yarra Valley, then Upper Yarra for 25, 26 October. So, look, all I can say is, as they say in their brochure, we're thrilled to open our doors and celebrate the vibrant talent shaping the Yarra Valley. Whether you're a first-time visitor or a long-time supporter, this weekend is about the discovery, connection and creativity. Wander, meet the artist, ask questions, and most importantly, enjoy yourself.
And that's where the real estate agent used to be.
Oh, see, now you're more of a local than I am.
Haven't you got the address? So we should tell the people the address.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's at, if not, look up Yarra Valley Arts, all one word, .org.au.
But I can tell you, it's not far from Bendigo Bank or where the bakery is. Along that, it's on that, it's on the low side.
There was a real estate agent there, Gowther or something. All right, so now you want to talk about the telcos.
Well, I suppose one question that people raise is when my telecommunications company lets me down, what legal rights do I have? And that's why I brought Jackson along. No, I'm only kidding. Only kidding, Jackson. So there is the telecommunications ombudsman that you can always go to, but also there's rights for, you could begin a class action.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's lawyers out there that are starting to assemble a letter, some letter to go out to. First, you can get an order from the court where they have to give over their mailing or, you know, whoever, and then people can write and in the affected area and people can put forward a claim. It might be a bit hard to have a general because if you didn't use your phone during that period, it's pretty hard to during the outage period.
On a more serious note, though, pardon me, I tried to drink some water and went down the wrong way. They say people died because of the Triple O outage. So would they have a claim?
Absolutely. Sorry, I shouldn't say absolutely. I should say it would be well worth considering. And so one of those things, but you need to look with organisations like that, you need to see if there's anything that's been carved out that protects them in certain circumstances. Right. When you signed a contract, did you give up certain rights? There's a whole lot of questions that you'd want to run through. Right. But normally the court wants to see justice at the end of the day. Yep. But a wrongful death claim, and this is something that Jackson would know from studying torts, It's a brutal saying, but it's one that is known in the law, and that is if you injure somebody, having to pay compensation for that injury for the rest of their life can be more costly than if somebody, sadly, if somebody passes, you can't compensate for death.
No.
There's a wrongful death claim, and that's an appropriate thing
In a case like that, though, you'd have to be able to prove that the delay caused the death, wouldn't you? The fact that the person died wouldn't necessarily mean that you would be entitled to compensation because the person might have died even if Triple O was there, wouldn't you? Am I right? I don't know.
It's a great question and one of those things that I'd say I'd get back to our original disclaimer that you know we only offer advice of a general nature and not in your individual circumstances you really need to check it out because it does so depend on all of the circumstances, how that would be worked through, but it's well worth considering and not dismissing it. I think some people say, "Oh well, I don't want to get involved." If there is a class action, sometimes you can be the lead defendant, but that's a rare position to have. Normally, you can tack along and get some payout. So I think it's wait and see what happens in this space.
A question for you, Grant. During a class action, how do they take an account for all these individual circumstances? It's a group kind of claim.
No, good point. So normally for a class action, you need the same set of circumstances. So same telecommunications company, same outage, same, could I say it without making a claim in relation to this, but same failure to properly keep up to date. They don't. Why would they want 1,000 or 2,000 actions? Yep. So it's and then the individual assessment of damages can be something that it can be determined. So this happened in the case of there was a drug that affected women's. Affected them. It's tried to. Said to relieve pain during, and that would have a different impact. So some person could be born with just a stump there, and sorry, on radio you don't say there, and others it could be a very slight. So yes, it does take account of those things, but also I think there was the breast implant with difficulties, damages can be different. So that still has to be considered, but they can get it's how they distribute the pot that they might get. But so normally for the lead defendant, they want somebody. So some people might just get $1,000 and others might get hundreds of thousands, if not more. So does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah. I'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
In this damn work of art, crime scene Cadillac, I'm driving fast as I can. California, here I come.
Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
And just a quick reminder, I'll be back here on Sunday afternoon between 12 and 3 with music, memories and more. We'll be rocking around with the old 50s, 60s and 70s, and then I'll be here again on Sunday night with a rock and roll hit parade, hits of the 60s. So great weekend coming up. If you can be with us, love to have you along. Now, Grant, you want to talk about the AFP. They're changing their motto or something.
Well, they are, but I think Jackson will tell us what their motto is at the moment, or their values.
A guiding statement of policing for a safer Australia.
And so they're about to add to that the word defend. They're wanting to... they're not just... So what was it again? How would you add defend to that?
Not sure.
What was it again?
Policing for a safer Australia.
So the policing and defending. Yes. Yeah. So the new AFP commissioner, Chrissy Barrett, I believe that's how you pronounce it. She's the new top cop, and she's, according to this article by Claire Armstrong in today's paper, she's putting criminals causing high harm to Australia's social cohesion on notice with the launch of a new investigation. New investigation teams to target and disrupt those responsible for sowing hatred and fear.
Well, because that's illegal, isn't it, to spread hatred around?
Well, that must be if she's doing something about it, because you can't police something that's not...
I'm pretty certain that they've created a law with some of this stuff that you can't say too much about about anyone.
I know you can't vilify.
Yep.
And so there's a whole lot. You can't harass, vilify. There's all of those things.
Greg, so what's the difference, in a legal term, what's the difference between... what did you say? Vilify.
Vilify.
And harass.
Well, harassment tends to occur more than once.
Right.
So I believe so. I think harassment needs to occur more than once.
Yep.
And basically, vilify. Well, Jackson's going to give us the definition.
Could be just a once-off, could it?
A public act or statement that incites hatred, serious contempt, or severe ridicule of a person or group based on attributes like race, religion, sexuality, or gender identity.
So that sounds like you could do get up once and speak, and you could still cause those things. So, and it reverberates around society. But taking it at its most base level, so vilification, you get up in public and you say certain things.
Yep.
If I don't, let's just pretend for a minute.
Yep.
I don't really like you, Alan. In fact, I hate you. If I keep that in mind...
Jackson, write that down.
I think no one would believe it if I said it, because we seem to get on well, and I do really like this guy. But what's to stop me having a severe disliking, if not hatred, towards you?
Yep.
To police that, it sounds like the thought police to me.
It's almost...
But when you incite others to do it, that's when... Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So I think it's one thing to say, you know, I don't like that person. In fact, by the way, hatred and love of... I'm going to get in trouble.
So no, come on. We will go down that track.
I know how you feel about Valentine's Day.
No, I've got to take a quick break.
Nothing turns her endless love like a dove, kind of change, truly dreams. Love always, nothing turns my eyes from you.
is Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Now, Grant, we always like to send you away with
questions.
We always send you away with a question, and I believe Jack's going to write it down. I reckon this is a terrific question. We're talking about red light cameras.
Yes.
But we're not actually talking about the actual cameras themselves. They have to go around and they service those cameras.
Yes.
And I've seen them do it. They get up on their little ladder and I don't know whether there's chips in them. I can't believe there'd be films in them anymore. So there'd have to be some sort of CD or something in that burns the whatever it has.
Yeah.
Right. So after they've... And I've actually seen this done and I hadn't even thought about it until a listener rang me up and asked me to talk to you about it. Right. So after they've done that, they have to test them. Because otherwise, they have to prove that they're accurate.
Yep.
Now, this guy said they've got a car and they've got another car that's got the Speedo on the back, a big Speedo. And and the idea with that is that the car following can make, he'll make a note they went through at 65.
Yep.
So then they can check that it's calibrated right.
Yep.
They have to be calibrated. Now, that car has to go through the red light. He has to do it, the two of them. What happens if he hits another car? Because he's created an illegal act. Even if he's... I mean, it's different with the police and the ambulance and that. They're all showing red and blue lights. These are only got the orange lights flashing. That doesn't give him any right to go through a red light. Forget about that it might be written in the some legislation they're allowed to do it. But what happens if you get hit by him?
Great question, and that's why we want to keep listeners listening next month for the answer to that question when Jackson will research for me. I do have a quick, but I won't say it now.
No, we don't want to, because I actually saw them after I'd been asked this question to ask you. I saw them down at the Springvale Junction, but they had road workers there with the stop signs and going, because that's such a busy intersection. But I've seen them since I was asked this question about 3 weeks ago. They don't have anyone. They just go through the red lights. They have to prove that it's working.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that. I know that when I went to university, one of the people we used to have lunch together, her boyfriend at the time, fiancé, no, probably just boyfriend, he got in on this right at the ground level. So he's... Oh. If I can find, if they're still on speaking terms, I'll see if she can put me in touch because it's amazing. It's a great thing to get into because she was always moving the cameras around to different places.
Yeah, and you know, they have to take whatever, I don't even know what's in the cameras, but they're up on their little ladder, but they have to prove that they've been tested.
Yeah.
And the only way to prove them, you've got to go, it's a thread right.
It's, I reckon Jackson could come back and do that all by himself next month.
I don't know. But anyway...
Oh, November. Let's just think. Yep. I'm counting down the sleeps already. Now, is there anything else you want to talk about? I understand you wanted to say something about this bishop, Peruvian bishop.
No, you want to do, don't you, Blake? But you go for it.
Well, I don't know what the legal aspect of this is, but...
You're the lawyer, not me.
Well, I imagine if you find you're one of 17, if that's true, it's alleged. It's apparently he's written a letter of resignation to Pope Leo, isn't
it? I think the Pope would be glad to see it. 17 mistresses.
Well, that's a busy Pope. And I mean, a busy bishop.
But they're not allowed to marry either.
Well, this one sounds like... all I can say is it's a tragic situation for everybody, but it sounds like there is an aspect that's law. One of them was a lawyer.
Were they?
And that's what upset people the most was when... The lawyer got it. I think somebody was... I don't know why people pick on lawyers. Do you know why people... Lawyers are such lovable people. They are the nicest
Have you ever looked at the list of the most trusted people in society from 1 to 50? Car yard salesmen are usually 59... are usually 50.
Yeah.
And guess where the lawyers are?
45.
48.
But that's, can I tell you, because I've seen statistics like that, but one thing that I found is this. People say that about us as a group, But they always say, but my own lawyer,
yeah.
I can trust them. And well, that's the difference. And there are some lawyers out there. Look, the 99% of lawyers give the 1% a bad name.
But that's the same.
No, I'm only kidding. No,
but it's the same in every industry, though. There's always a few turkeys. You know?
Yeah, no, there's very few. Lawyers, most people come to law with a genuine intention, a bit like Jackson said earlier. Why did you want to be a lawyer again, Jackson?
Public interest.
See, most public come interest. With a pure heart, and then they become like cynical.
All right, we've got 5 minutes. What else are we going to talk about? Let's get off the naughty bishop.
we dealt with telecommunications.
I wonder how he got found out.
Oh, I can tell you, according to the newspaper article.
Yeah. And one of them was a nun.
Well, so they say. So
well,
apparently
alleged.
After it was. Apparently 17, including a nun, has been exposed after some of the women found out about each other and nearly came to blows over a man. Why would you come to blows over a man?
Particularly if he's 16 others, you'd say, well, have him.
A 51-year-old virile... Well,
he's only 51.
Only? That's old, mate.
Geez, you've been a busy boy at 51.
Anyway, he sent his resignation to Pope Leo. Now, I'll get to the lawyers. The Vatican investigation interviewed three of the alleged lovers, as well as the cleaning lady, who supplied details about what she saw.
Oh, she wasn't involved. She just...
No, I think she may have just been cleaning up a bit. A nun... Why are you laughing? It's very serious.
Oh, it's serious for the ladies.
A nun was one of the lovers, was jealous of a lawyer the bishop was also seeing, and sent information about his affair to a third lover, who got into a fight with the lawyer. Why do people pick on lawyers?
I'm just going to let that go right over my head.
Anyway.
I'm waiting for you to move on, Grant.
Apparently the person mistakenly sent videos and photos intended for a mistress to his cleaning lady, who told the church.
It's true.
See, one of those things, you never take a picture and share it.
Yep.
You just stop. Don't take the picture. Isn't that right? Is that what they teach you, Jackson?
Is that your professional legal advice?
My professional. Don't take a picture that you're going to. There are some things that seem like a good idea in the moment, but they never were a good idea. Don't do it unless you're prepared to have it read out or put on your tombstone.
Yeah. One of the. I know we've made light heart of it, but one of the things that. Is still going on, I believe, in university is these nude photos being sent around.
I think one of the saddest cases is I was reading yesterday about a case where a family is selling their house and moving out of an area because of a nude picture that was shared with everybody in a country town.
It was
obviously an exaggeration because not everybody's going to look at that stuff, but it's just... Okay, an indiscreet moment or somebody saying or doing something and you wreck somebody's life. Just think of the cost of having to sell and buy somewhere else, establishing your relationships.
But how many kids or how many young people have committed suicide over it?
It's woeful. But I think that rather than try to, brave it out, or I think the family are showing incredible concern. The child involved or the person involved. And it wasn't around when I was a kid, and it wasn't around when you were a kid, and
but
it's probably been too much around when you were a kid.
But the best advice is don't take any photos of it.
And if somebody says, if you really love me, no, if you really love me, you wouldn't be asking for it.
No,
you wouldn't. That is not a sign of love. Love is kindness, compassion, doing all the things. The Apostle Paul wrote it well. Love is... What is it? What's that list?
You started.
Jackson, you'll remember it. Look, 1 Corinthians 13, I think it is. But love is patient. Love is all of those things.
Yeah.
And if you can't wait, if you've got to have it now, that's not love.
No.
That's lust.
When you start quoting something, you've got to make sure you know what the quote is.
I shouldn't be spontaneous, should I? But you're a dangerous person to be interviewed by. You get everything out of me.
No, I don't. I don't try to do that. Look, it's... But one of the issues is, and let's be honest, while we've made a bit of a laugh about it,
it's horrible.
If a guy asks a woman or the woman asks the guy for a nude photo, just don't do it.
Absolutely.
Don't do it. While things are going along all right,
yes,
and then when something goes wrong, then they, all of a sudden they spread them out all over the place. So if they're not there, can't happen.
There are criminal offences that are now around in terms of maliciously sharing, but all I'd say is don't do it. No. It is not a sign of love to share that intimate photo. You don't have to if you... Anyway, what do you think? No, I want a young person's perspective, Jackson.
We've got 30 seconds, so let's find out.
Well, yes, it's very prevalent, online pictures and unencrypted messages and stuff like that. It's a bit of a problem.
But what would you say? Is somebody really showing love by...
Well, no, and relationships can break down very quickly, and especially nowadays, and it's a breakdown of trust at times.
And it can be malicious,
of course.
Sometimes.
Well, and that happens, doesn't it? If the relationship breaks up badly, then that's when it does become vicious.
You know,
and it can be used against. And many a young person has lost their lives. Look, we've got to go, guys. Thank you for coming in yet again. We always have a bit of fun, and we pick on Grant. But thanks, Jackson. I wish you well in your future studies and whatever happens. And I wish you well too, Grant.
Thanks, Alan. Always good to be here. Bye.